Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD, rejection, sensitive dysphoria, and the pink elephant paradox. With us in our virtual studios, Dr. Sharon Saleem.
We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show and write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
Are you a young adult newly diagnosed with ADHD or who is transitioning to independent adulthood? We know all too well the highs and lows that come with independently managing your ADHD. Chad's Adult to Adult Education and Training Program offers self-paced and on-demand training courses to support you in living and thriving with adult ADHD. To learn more, visit us at chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate, or to become a member, go to chadd.org. Okay, let's get into our content. We have Dr. Sharon Saleem. She focuses her work on ADHD, anxiety, learning differences, and mental challenges. Dr. Saleem funnels her expertise into her books, What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew, Working Together with Empowered Kids for Success in School and Life. You can find lots of information there on her. I encourage you to go see her website at drsharonsaline. And with that, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It is a pleasure to be here, as usual.
I am thrilled that you're back. You remember green stamps a long time ago? Like, you're becoming one of our top green stamps collections. We're having you so back because of the conversations that we're having. And this is actually, I'm really excited that you agreed to do this. The topic today is ADHD, rejection, sensitive dysphoria, and this concept of the pink elephant paradox out there. And everybody, really kind of frame this out. I have a lot of respect for Dr. Saleem. And sometimes you have topics that are looked at from different lenses. And in the world of ADHD, there's lots of symptoms. We don't have a diagnostic test. And sometimes there's lots of stuff that's out there that you hear, and you can look at it from two different perspectives and see kind of two different things. And in today's conversation, I really wanted to kind of talk about this particular topic, Sharon's experience with it, and working with the people, and then my experience with it, to hope some of you guys can get a dissertation and understand, like, oh, wait a second, what is this? And so I want to begin with emotions. And for coaching, we look at ADHD as an issue of self-regulation. I love Dr. Barclay's model. Two things you have to regulate. One is your attention, and one is your emotions. And as I've learned, for many people with ADHD, managing the emotion is more difficult sometimes than all of it. And so when we're looking at this area, for me, when I'm coaching it, I'm looking at coaching somebody's emotions. What are your thoughts and perspectives as a psychologist on this?
Well, I think that because many people with ADHD struggle with emotional regulation, and many people who don't have ADHD struggle with that because we all have executive functioning strengths and challenges. And so some people may not have ADHD, but they may really struggle with this. or maybe they haven't identified their ADHD. We want to really work with people in understanding that we have a range of emotions and we have a lot of choices about how we want to express those emotions and share them. And what happens with rejection sensitivity dysphoria, which is not actually like a mental health diagnostic category in the DSM-5, but it is a syndrome that people talk about and it is real, is that people feel so devastated by criticism from a friend or a teacher or a boss, relative, coworker, that they keep repeating what they said to them over and over again. And that's where that pink elephant thing comes in, because it's like, oh, I'm not going to think about that. And then the pink elephant is like right there, oh, I can't stop thinking about it. And so it's a combination of both emotional regulation and impulse control. And this is where it gets really dicey for people living with ADHD.
So you brought in the pink elephant. Everybody, I had heard this for years. Like somebody walked in a room and said, okay, now everybody, whatever you do, don't think of a pink elephant. It was funny because I could, in that moment, my mind was like, okay, what does a pink elephant look like? So I don't think about it. And that little thing, pink elephant's a label. And we've done some shows before that when you label something, you no longer pay attention to the differences. In fact, I talk about, if I ask you to pick a color, think of the color red, Sharon, you might think of a color, well, there's an infinite number of shades of red, but we tend to latch on to one. And so I like how you brought that in, because there's one other inside of our head, we latch on to things, but also when we have labels for things out there that people like, oh my God, I can identify with that. It's the same concept as when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail at that point in time. And what I wanted to do today was hopefully have this conversation so we get people to think more broadly about what this is really kind of all about. And so, again, everybody, this is really setting the stage to deal with that. So from your perspective, dealing with rejection, that an emotional sensitivity, it's a real thing. And I'm from what I see, for some people, it's a lot more intense, where other ones, it's there but not as strong. Talk to us about that, your perspective.
Well, it also comes – well, RSD is not a formal diagnostic category, but it is a common coexisting condition with ADHD, and it really travels very closely with social anxiety. So rejection sensitivity dysphoria refers to intense feelings related to the belief that you've let other people down, embarrassed yourself, failed at something, or made a serious, unfixable mistake. And as a result, people are pulling back their support, their love, or respect. RSD causes extreme emotional pain that plagues both children and adults with ADHD, even when no actual rejection has taken place. And this is why it travels so closely with social anxiety, because social anxiety is about the fear of embarrassment or rejection, right? So these travel very closely together.
So social anxiety, and you said the word belief.
Mm-hmm.
So a person's they formed a belief on how they're being judged by other people. When that's happening, are they actually thinking about that, or is that just a go-to thing?
People with social anxiety, they may have very well experienced some kind of rejection in the past, but it can also be a belief that if they engage in something, like they have to do a presentation or they have to speak to someone in a restaurant, that people will be watching them and, at some level judging them and making fun of them. So that's social anxiety. With rejection sensitivity dysphoria, what happens is people struggle with letting go of past hurts or rejections and experience heightened emotional sensitivity. So they may hold on to unkind words or actions directed towards them for months or even years. You can't kind of shake off those comments and believe at some level that you deserve them. And you think you've fallen short. When with your exquisite sensitivity, no matter what anyone says, you just can't bounce back.
So I'm going to stand up here for me. This is just me. I'm one of those people where, like, when it comes to women's shoes, I mean, there might be one or two times every once in a while I'll notice a woman's shoes, but I'm oblivious to them. I mean, they're invisible to me. You could be wearing flip-flops in a gown, and I wouldn't know it, but that's just myself. And so because of that, I'm not as judgmental. And so there's times where I'm like, I'm probably out in public wearing something I shouldn't, or I do something. I'm like, well, you know, hell, nobody noticed me. And at the end of the day, in 5 years, everybody will have forgotten it. Now, that's just my temperament.
Right.
But I've coached other people where they'll see that, and it gets latched into their mind, and they can't let it go. And they think it's like almost like there's a magnifying glass, like looking at this I'm wearing
yes.
flip-flops and a gown. And so that's why I think it's important. There's a continuum. Again, I'm sharing my experiences. I'm like oblivious, so I'm not as judgmental. But other people put that spotlight on it. And then if we're looking at it, it's almost like they judge themselves strictly from that spotlight, and they can't let it go. And that's a challenge because that's impairing your
mm-hmm.
emotions and actually starting to impact your attention over a period of time, correct?
That's right. And what happens is that there's a kind of preoccupation that exists now and that thwarts you from being willing to take a risk or being willing to say to yourself, you know, that was a long time ago. I've moved on. I've changed. There's like the play. You can't stop the playback button. It just keeps. It's just on a loop. And so this is a really makes it very tough to recover from any kind of personal criticism or rejection. And I think that's partially because a lot of people, particularly teens and adults with ADHD, may already experience a feeling of otherness.
Mm-hmm.
That they're at a disadvantage and often internalize negative voices. And so
mm-hmm.
when you live in this one-down position, it intensifies RSD and exacerbates shame.
Intensifies and exacerbates it. And I'm feeling in like my body starting to feel this radiating, and then all of a sudden I'm like kind of getting emotional. That becomes very difficult to control even as I'm thinking about how you're describing it.
Exactly. It's really intense. And I think that, you know, there are people, I mean, I don't know too many of them, but they experience, you know, some kind of rejection. They can slough it off like whatever. Most people I work with and people I know, including myself, when I experience rejection or mean comment, it's harder for me to shake that off because I struggle with emotional control and it hurts me. Like I know I'm sensitive. When I was a kid growing up, my parents used to call me super sensitive Sharon. I'm like, that's really helpful. Thank you. You know, I mean, here I'm a psychologist and I'm glad I'm sensitive because
yep.
it makes me a better therapist and researcher and writer. So, you know, there are various signs of rejection sensitivity dysphoria, low self-esteem or self-worth, easily embarrassed, quick to anger or blow up when perceiving a rejection or getting hurt, setting high expectations that are difficult for you to meet about yourself and others, the link to social
yep.
anxiety, seeing yourself perhaps as a failure when you disappoint someone. Maybe you consider self-harming behaviors or engage in them, and anticipating rejection in new situations. So I think once we sort of, you and I have laid out some of this, then the question becomes later in our conversation, what do you do about it? How do you live differently?
Absolutely. And so here's what I want to do. I want to tell a quick story. I want to go to the break, and I want to come back, and I want to talk about my conceptual view of this and how I've helped people with ADHD, and I'm going to say run-of-the-mill ADD, and I don't like this because it's almost like there's one size fits all, but I just want to talk about just the average emotional self-regulation, and then we're going to talk about your side. So before I go, as I said, I'm a little less sensitive people. I pause and I put things in context, and recently somebody went to my website, and they downloaded – I have a cartoon book that I've been selling for years. They got this book, and they sent me this email. It was a very negative email, as if I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. And I'm sitting there going, this is a cartoon book. This isn't my knowledge. This is just something that was just deliver some stuff. Like, how can I be criticized? I mean, you're taking this out of kind of context. I'm going to come back to that when
mm-hmm.
we come back from the break and talk about that a little bit more. For everybody listening out there, if you haven't listened to Sharon before, she's brilliant, and you need to learn more about her by going to her website. It's drsharonsaline.com. I'm going to spell that. drsharonsaline.com. Our secret word tonight is pink. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by GigCoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Sharon Saline on rejection sensitive dysphoria. And before the break, we really trying to talk about this as an emotional issue in the context of ADHD, and that there's a spectrum on here. And today's program is really just to kind of talk about our different perspectives and views and how we're dealing with it. And I want to be really, really clear. There are some people out there that have ADHD that struggle with emotions and rejection, and there's a level to what I'm going to talk about that's not going to be able to help that crowd, period, at the end of sentence, because it's not really my domain. I'm going to share some things, that the way I look at this particular thing and how I coach it a little bit, and say I have been able to help it, so some of you can begin to think about that. So if you've been listening to the show, you know I'm a big fan of Dr. Russell's Barkley construct on ADHD is an executive functioning issue. There's self-awareness, self-restraint, visual imagery, verbal working memory, emotional self-regulation, and playing with information in your mind. I did some research. There's a guy named John Eastwood that has some research out there. They got people together of similar IQs, people with ADHD without. They gave them a test. So they lumped everybody together, got the same score. So imagine you got a person with ADHD with 105 IQ, a person without ADHD, 105 IQ. They scored the same score on the test, 90. They asked these guys, was this difficult? The self-report of the ADHD people, same IQ, same test result, was that thinking was more difficult. The test was harder. This is new research that's out there. We're working on it. Now, fast forward, I've learned over the years is that working memory is a huge issue with people with ADHD. Often, what I'll do to somebody just to kind of help them understand that, I'll ask them to calculate 3 to the power 5, and often I get the, oh, my God, wow, and then they'll try to begin. And if you think about calculating 3 to the power 5, you've got to do the calculation and keep track of the number of times you've multiplied times 3 itself. Well, that's difficult, but I go back. Do you see the emotional reaction that you had at the beginning of that? Because thinking for people with ADHD inside their head is more taxing, and they often have an emotional reaction to want to escape. There's a great quote, thinking is difficult. That's why people judge. Now, again, everybody, this is just a lens that I'm looking at. And so sometimes I'm with some people, and when they have that feeling that something's not going right, they jump to the conclusion that they're being rejected. And I'll say, well, wait a second, let's just talk about why they might not have done something and whatever. And we'll start going through, oh, well, you know, I asked them to go to the movie, they didn't go. Well, maybe they prefer different movies. Maybe they're busy that day. Maybe they don't like to do it in theaters. And we start thinking through all the possible reasons that they might want to go. And many of them go, like, oh, I never thought about that. And where I'm going with this is they don't stop and they don't actually do the analytical thinking of why the other person might not be there, or maybe somebody you got together with just didn't click because your humor, you have a different style of humor, which is not good or bad, it's just different style preferences. And I've had some success where I'm helping them realize, hey, stop, that's an emotional reaction, let's stop, let's engage in your thinking brain and begin to think about the possibilities. Even then, start to think, let's start looking at their body language. This goes to Sharon about social anxiety. Let's start reading their body language and see what it might be telling us. Like, they said no, but they had a really open posture, was literally giving. And so by pausing and getting them to stop and engage their thinking brain, they see things they don't, and so many times they're able to downregulate and not be as sensitive. Again, this is not for, this is just for people, just run-of-the-mill people with ADHD, but the idea is helping them understand is that when they feel that feeling, they jump to a conclusion, and if I can get them to pause and think through what's going on, they begin to, oh, wow, it's really maybe not so bad. Thoughts on that, Sharon?
Well, I think that it is, you know, being able to intervene with ANTs, automatic negative thoughts, is a very important skill that people with ADHD need to learn around these overwhelming and intense emotional issues. Because of ADHD, there is this flooding capacity. And
yes.
So something that someone else may feel is a little, you know, a little poke, someone with ADHD may feel like is a punch in the gut. And so in order to combat that sensitivity, really we have to work on resilience. That's just the only way that that both helps reduce all types of anxiety, including social anxiety, but also RSD. Because when you can reassure yourself, when you can say to yourself, you know, I'm not sure I can handle this, I feel unsafe in this situation, wow, that really hurt, and I'm not a bad person, I just maybe made a mistake, or everybody makes mistakes, it's okay. Whatever it is that you can say to yourself when someone says something that's mean and hurtful, including, wow, that sucked, you know, excuse my language, that hurt, just holding that. Because at least 50% of the time when someone says something to you that's nasty or hurtful or, you know, purposefully kind of blaming or shaming, it's about them. It's not about you. And so when you can when you have that capacity to sort of pause for a minute and say, is this about me? What part of this is about me? How upset do I need to be about that part that's mine? Or is this about them? It helps you create a kind of distance so that you're responding, you're cognitively responding and not just reacting really quickly.
Absolutely. I love what you said. Is this about me? Is this about them? Because often it is about them.
Right. And that, so I have these five tips for dealing with rejection sensitivity disorder. And the first one is reinforce your strengths. You know, pay attention to the things you like about yourself and build those. And really, each night, talk into your phone or write down three good things that happened each day. And they don't have to be things that, you know, were, you know, oh, I developed the cure for cancer. It can be, you know, I liked the clothes I wore today, or I had a positive conversation with Jeff, or I made myself a nice salad for lunch. Like, it can be that level, and it can be bigger. But we have to shift the perspective about what I'm not doing enough of and what I am. The second thing, and probably is the most important thing, is Q-tip. Quit taking it personally. People with rejection sensitivity dysphoria and many people with ADHD take things personally that may not be personal. So this, in order to respond to this, we want to practice taking a pause when someone says or does something and say, oh, you know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Let me think about it. Or that's a strong point you made. I need a couple minutes to really run that around my brain and I'll come back. And then you can like go to the bathroom, wash your hands, look in the mirror, say to yourself, okay, what part of this is mine and what part is not? Because you've bought yourself some time to down regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very helpful. And you know, and to remember that before you come to a conclusion about something someone said, if someone else was around, at some point you might want to take them inside and say, I'm not sure I'm interpreting this in a neutral way, or you know, it's easy for me to get down on myself, you know that. So I'm just wondering what you heard, and then you can check that with what you are actually feeling. Because it's mm-hmm. super easy to just take it on and feel bad about yourself. It's that shame spiral, you know,
mm-hmm.
that people with emotional control issues and sensitivity go into so quickly.
So that's three of the five, or is that all five?
That's two.
Okay.
The third one is you want to manage your own big feelings effectively. You don't want to lash out at others or withdraw. What you want to do is use stop, think, act, recover. So you take a pause in the action. You think about what it is you want to say or do. You either come back to the situation or to consider what is the next right action I want to take. And you recover and give yourself time to reflect on how you want to circle back and deal with it. I think there's a feeling for a lot of people that when something happens, I need to deal with it right away. That's a very ADHD thing. And really, your best friend is buying yourself some time to manage your feelings effectively. Of course, we want to treat ourselves with compassion. This is super hard for people with ADHD and RSD because they have a very active inner critic. And so this inner critic takes a painful situation or something someone said to you or a mistake that you made, and it magnifies them, and then it repeats it over and over. And that's that kind of a pink elephant thing,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I'm not going to think about that, and then I can't help but think about that. It's right there. All I can see is the pink elephant.
Yep, you dwell on it. Yep.
Right. And what we want to do is actually talk to ourselves the way we would approach a third grader with a skin knee. If you wouldn't say this to a third grader who fell and skinned their knee, why do you say it to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn to soothe ourselves without shame to the resilience of living with ADHD. So that means planning. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So that means planning and posting positive self-talk or affirmations around, like, I know that on my computer, I have four or five post-its, including Q-tip, including you can't be anxious and grateful at the same time, and be the lighthouse, spread the light, and real is better than perfect. So, you know, I have these things to remind myself, and I think that that helps me when I'm having a dark moment, and it's helpful for many of my clients because they can't hold on to those thoughts in the middle of that amygdala hijack.
I tell you what, we got two more to go. Let's go to break real quick so we can extend this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
To hold the thought again, everyone, check out Sharon's website at drsharonsaline.com. That's drsharonsaline.com. Our secret word tonight is pink. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
We're back with Dr. Sharon Saline having a very interesting conversation. Before the break, we took a pause a little bit. We have a couple more on your list to go. What are the next ones you got for us?
I think I covered them all, and the five are reinforce your strengths,
okay,
quit taking it personally, manage big feelings effectively,
okay,
treat yourself with compassion, and plan and post positive self-talk phrases. And some ideas for these phrases might be, I'm stronger than I think. My mind is uniquely wired and creative. I can make a mistake and be a good person. I can get hurt and bounce back. People are not necessarily thinking negatively about me. So these are all things that can help you address those ants before they start crawling around.
Got it.
Whatever crumbs you've dropped. Yeah.
So when you're in an interaction and there's something and you feel some rejection because of interaction, a lot of what you said really makes a lot of sense. There's sometimes I find people are prejudging situations without even being in it and never actually going, and so they're paralyzed because they're convinced they're rejected before they even get there. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think in those cases, what's happened is you're in a mindset that whatever you do is going to end up with some sort of problem. You're either going to mess up, someone's going to call you out, you're going to be embarrassed. You've already decided how things are going to work out. And this makes it much harder for you to actually stay open and curious about things that could happen to you in another way.
Yeah. It's almost like you paint yourself in a corner when you're convinced that you're going to get judged, so you never actually get into that situation. It's like, what do you do to get out? Well, to get the proof that it's not, you have to go out to do that, but you're convinced. And so you can really get trapped in this, I can imagine.
You absolutely can get trapped in this. And you, once you're in that loop, it's very difficult to pull back from that loop and get out of it. And so what we want to be able to do is to stop ourselves before we're in that loop, to notice when we're starting to have those thoughts, so we can say, you know what, I don't want to go down that route. So you actually can say, I see you, pink elephant, and I'm actively choosing not to follow you. So I'm going to ask you to please go sit down so that I can try this. You may come back later, but right now I really want to make a different choice. I mean, there's a way in which we have to talk back to ourselves, particularly for people with ADHD who have that negative loop. And that internalized voice that's so critical, that's been amassed over years of hearing what they're doing wrong when they didn't even know they had made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. So there's kind of I'm listening to you. I always learn stuff when I listen to you. There's kind of emotional thinking and then kind of logical thinking.
Yes.
Emotional thinking is where you're dwelling on you're thinking about the emotional side of it. The logical thinking, if you can get to that and you can see the logic, may get the facts, maybe you can get out of it. But you've got ADHD, it's self-regulation, and you're trying to manage attention, the thinking part, and the emotion part, and it gets all kind of, it's like a wet knot, I feel like, sometimes to discern those differences. But with what I was saying and what you're saying, at the end of the day, it still goes back to thinking. How do you actually think about this stuff and engage it? And as I had said, you know, thinking's difficult, which is the key, because you're saying, hey, you got to talk to yourself. You've got to do this stuff to you and doing it out loud to yourself in order to engage your thinking process. So I'm finding a lot of commonality there, but the emotional thinking and the logical thinking is difficult to manage inside your head because, after all, it's emotional.
Right, and I think the thing that happens is that the only way that you can help yourself is by practicing not in the moment, but being able to practice, and this, you know, any kind of mindfulness or yoga or meditation, something that gets you out of that loop into your body you know, into some sort of grounded state where you're not running. Like, how do you interrupt that loop? Maybe you have a playlist on your phone that you call it, like, you know, spirit songs or anger management or, you know, anti-rejection songs, whatever it is. You have to have some things to actually break the continuity of that loop because you can't rely on yourself to do it. And that might be like a change of environment. It might mean, you know, being able to call a particular person. And this, the thing that you must do is to pay attention to the signals that, oh, I'm headed in that direction. I have to regroup. I have to pivot. And it's super hard to do. Like, I can't say, oh, it's easy. You know, it's not. It's not easy. And the thing that helps is, for me, is like, okay, I need to get out of my head. So I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to pay mm-hmm. attention to my dog. Maybe I'll cook some dinner and put on some very loud disco music.
Yes.
You know, that's what we have to do for ourselves.
So my guess is a lot of people were attracted to listen to this show because of the title. And we start off with mm-hmm. emotions. We got into the rejection stuff, but, you know, Sharon, we're right back just at managing emotions across the board. You know,
yes.
At the end
yes.
of the day, from my perspective, and I think from your perspective, this is emotion regulation. My only beef is I don't like the label of rejection sensitivity because now it's a pink elephant and everybody's looking for pink elephants and you dwell on pink elephants and we're trying to break that cycle a little bit. And so sometimes
mm-hmm.
we latch
mm-hmm.
on to it, but sometimes from a marketing perspective, I get frustrated with this stuff. You're like, no, it's emotional self-regulation. Let's just focus in on that because if we just dwell on that one thing, it just makes it more difficult for us to kind of pull away. And
mm-hmm.
again, we started with what is an emotion, and we're back to managing emotion, both sides of it, which is, I think, the trick.
Yes.
Both you and I agree, when I'm coaching people with ADHD, managing attention is one thing. Managing emotion is a lot more complicated, a lot more difficult for some. Some people can do it, but it's a big challenge. That's why I like Dr. Barclay's model. Emotions is as much a part of ADHD as anything else, and you've got to manage them. And what I'm hoping today is we've
yeah.
had a good conversation for people to understand the root. This is not easy stuff to take care of. It's not like you wave your magic wand and do it. However, with the right person helping you get your way through it, there's different techniques and different ways to get there. So I really like where we started. I really liked where we ended on this. And the idea is focus on managing your emotions. Don't just dwell on a word or pink elephant because it just catastrophizes it that much more. Just manage your emotions with the fundamentals I think Sharon's been talking about. So any last nuggets for you?
Right. Yeah. Plan for emotional dysregulation. It's going to happen. You're going to feel rejected at some point. You're going to worry what people are thinking about you. You're going to head into a shame spiral. You're going to lose your cookies periodically. That's okay. Everybody has trouble holding it together at some point. But have your tools available in advance. Instead of hoping it'll never happen again, actually strategize with your coach or your therapist. What am I going to do the next time this happens? How am I going to notice the signs in my body or what's happening in the environment? And what are my choices to slow things down so I can actually respond instead of react in the middle of an amygdala hijack?
Two things come to mind.
What?
One is my own personal experience is, number one, sometimes somebody criticizes me or rejects me, and they have a right to do it because I'm all high and mighty and I'm wrong, and I actually really need to listen to them. And the other time, I just have to forgive them for their ignorance. They're so closed-minded. This goes back to it's really all about them. And, hey, I just have to forgive them for ignorance as a means to just kind of let that go and kind of move on. So those are just my own personal mm-hmm. things that I've used. I've shared out there kind of if it resonates. So with all that, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, and this was such an interesting discussion. I'm so glad we had it.
I'm glad we had it, and I hope that we're helping people think through this stuff and empower themselves to be aware of what's kind of going on. And so with that, thank you everybody much for catching this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Check out Sharon's website at drsharonsaline. Check it out. Again, our secret word tonight is pink. Hope you've enjoyed it. Catch us next week. Take care.